You don't want to be the next Andrew W.K. because you want to be the next Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I don't even want to be Bill Nye. I want to be like Mr. Wizard on cocaine. Look at this fucking balloon! Boom! That's hydrogen, motherfuckers! Again, not with that language.
Okay, well, that's the problem. I think you're blowing your audition tapes.
Ba, 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 I'm trying to think. Ba, ba, doom, doom, ba, 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 ba doom, I'm doom, trying doom, to think. Ba, ba, doom, this doom, is doom, the I'm trying ba, ba, doom, to think doom, show. Doom. Okay, that was good. All right, welcome to I'm Trying to Think, a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can check them out at foundation-institute.org. I don't know what episode number this is. What are we, 39?
I believe it's the 35. I believe it's the 35.
35, all right. We'll explain that in a moment. This is episode 35, and you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/I'm Trying to Think. You can become a fan on Facebook, and if you search I'm Trying to Think on Facebook, and if you are on the internet and you want to look at our site, it's at www.imtryingtothink.com.
You seem to have gone
and
a little stupid.
Shut up, and you can write to us at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
You okay?
Yeah. This is I'm Trying to Think by Gaslight.
Oh, is that a gas candle?
That's not a gas candle. Shortly before we went to record, the power went out in the studio. So we're recording on batteries, and that's why we didn't have the music intro, and we sang a song. Magic just happened. Lights yep. came back on.
We got power.
Power came back. Whatever. We're stuck with this now. But okay. At least we have the internet again, and thus that ridiculously bad intro can, well, just not be there that way next time. I'm just leaving it, though.
No, it might be. I don't know. We'll see. But the point is, we are not going to cut short when we run out of power.
I have a point,
though,
Dave, if I can get to my point.
Okay, go for it. You've got a point.
Five little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said, "No more monkeys jumping on the bed." Listen, Dr. Monkey, I will be the first person to tell you that monkeys should not jump on beds. But someone has been injured. Now is not the time for your preachy ways. Just tell the mother monkey, I assume monkey, to take the monkey who fell off the bed to the hospital, have him checked out. There could be concussion. There could be some sort of brain damage. You know, don't let the monkey go to sleep, because that's really bad if you have a concussion, from what I hear. I don't know. But, you know, I'm just saying. What's up with that Dr. Monkey?
Okay, so I'm going to skip over the sort of main question I have with this whole premise, which is why. And, you know, I'll just roll with it.
All right.
Okay, we're talking about this then.
Oh, we do sure. have we do have non-powered sound effects, if I may. Hold on, wait.
Congratulations.
Isn't that great?
I'm glad you've got that for when we need it. Thank God.
We just became the morning zoo. Hold on. Chuck Werner. Wait. I can't make it.
We're like the incompetent morning zoo. That's awesome.
You don't want to be the competent morning zoo, Dan.
That is terrible. It doesn't even, like, after that first one, it barely even sounds like a fart anymore. It just sounds
wet and
unpleasant.
I don't know how to use the it's flarp noise putty. There you go.
Now, I hate everything about this now.
But you will remember, Dave, that on Twitter, a week ago, I complained about the word fart and how I don't like it. I don't really like it. It's not a word that pleases me.
No.
Whereas
no.
Puke is pretty cool.
Sure, fine.
Some people don't like puke, but I like puke. I'm
not comfortable with this.
My alternate word was flarb, which is pretty close to this flarp noise putty.
I hate myself for laughing at that one.
I like that that it's called noise putty.
Well, it's because they're trying to be demure. And also, theoretically, you might be able to make other noises with it. See? That's a different noise.
You can make a lot of different noises with it, Dave, but I think in the end you're only making one noise.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So about the monkeys, Dave. Yeah, it's something.
Okay, if we do want to circle back to that.
Circle back to the monkeys.
Okay, accepting the larger premise that we're talking about that, and we're talking about that for a reason, which I'm willing to do.
Accept that premise.
Okay, why do you think it's a doctor monkey and, like, it's a mother monkey? Like, are you sure it's not, like, a Curious George situation where it's, like, there's monkeys, but there's humans, and there's humans in charge of them?
You know,
why do you think everyone's a monkey?
Curious George is a big racist metaphor, right? The man in the yellow hat represents white people. Who, you know, have to curtail the curious and ignorant activities of the black populace, represented by the monkey Curious George.
I was not aware of that.
Of course it is. What else could that possibly be?
I don't know. I just thought the man in the yellow hat represented a banana.
A banana? And he really just, he wants that banana, but that doesn't make any sense because the banana.
I don't know. It's a Freudian thing.
Is it like an addiction thing?
It's where a Freudian thing. Because
he's addicted to bananas. The bananas are what both cares for him, but also, you know, directs him and guides him.
It could be an addiction metaphor. I was thought it more like a sort of Freudian psychosexual thing.
That's too much pressure, so hold on, man.
Oh, God. I hate you. Who let you have fart punny?
All right, so you have monkeys jumping on the bed, right?
Yeah.
Mama calls the doctor. So the only thing that could be a parent of a monkey is another monkey.
No, wait. Here's the thing, though. Could be like...
And she's calling a doctor, not the veterinarian.
Hold on, though.
So the doctor must also be a monkey to treat monkey patients as a doctor, not as a veterinarian.
Two things that make me disagree with that. That's one, I think, like, have you ever known those ladies, like, where they own, like, I'm going to say, too many pets and they call themselves, like, a doggy mommy or a kitty mommy, like horrible, like cat people, horrible dog people.
Those are no.
So I think it could be that kind of situation.
I usually think those people are like, they look at their dogs and cats more as significant others and less as children. But I could be thinking of different
people. Oh, so you think
people.
It's like a mommy and I'm going to go back to it again in like a Freudian psychosexual sense?
Maybe.
Okay. Again, much like the fart putty, I don't like anything about that.
Oh, I found a new sound.
Oh, hey, yeah. I guess it is noise putty. I gotta stop calling it fart putty now. You proved me wrong.
I don't like anything about that sound.
But it's different.
It's like, oh, we're broadcasting from a sewer. We're broadcasting from one of those swamps in a fantasy movie where it bubbles.
Man, I'm going to say the listener at home, since this is just an audio type situation, they can't see you working the putty. And I'll tell you, I don't like anything about that either.
I'm a pro working the putty.
I'm against every... I'm kind of negative
let's
today, aren't
to
I?
Let's go back to
I'm
the flarming.
Against everything.
Let's go back to the... What's that? That doesn't sound good, Dave. It's like an alarm. All right, it's gone.
Okay, I think I was telling you to quit with the farting.
Back to the flarbing.
That was the flarb alarm, buddy. See? It's going back again.
Oh, if I had a dollar for every time some crazy noise came on this podcast that we didn't understand, I would have like $4. And I would take that $4 and I'd like go buy some ice cream. No, and I would have ice cream.
You just wasted on fart putty.
I don't need fart putty. I already got one.
You'd waste it on some other stupid putty.
My parents got me this
fart
putty.
You and your goddamn putties.
My parents got me that fart putty. My dead mom got me that fart putty.
Oh, no.
She's alive.
That's okay, good. Right. I was worried that something had happened.
Like, no, it's all
like
fine.
She just delivered you some fart putty and then died. Like, but from... I guess that would have
from
to be
the fart putty?
No, I guess that would have to be since Saturday, because that's the last time we talked, and you hadn't mentioned it.
Well, so. Yeah, you don't know. I might be hiding the death of my parents from you.
That's true. You could
since
be
I'm becoming a superhero in response to it.
Oh, okay.
So my secret identity, blah, blah, blah.
Is it a putty-based superhero? Is this going to be putty-oriented?
It could be. Putty man, fighting the forces of
not making fart sounds?
I don't know. I was fighting the forces of fart sounds, maybe.
Well, then you're losing.
With fart sounds. You got to fight fire with fire, Dave. You got to fight fart sounds.
You got to fart sounds with fart sounds.
Fart sounds with fart sounds. All right, well, this is... We're completely off the rails, but that's awesome.
High-minded.
I'm just excited I got my power back now. That's what we had to do, was start podcasting.
Yeah. It's like a rain dance we're doing here.
And, we're in the studio here. This is my desk in the studio. And you gotta like it. It's very nice. Do you like the desk here?
Yeah, it's a good setup.
I got a good thing out here. This is my favorite thing. It's not one of my favorite things. Oh, if I could show you, Dave. Could you read the front of this paper tract?
This paper tract says, God says, please do not go to hell.
That's
the front of that paper tract.
That's like me saying, Dave, please don't let me hit you in the face.
Yeah, it's basically don't make me do this. It's abusive husband. It's like, this is God's abusive husband.
Well, yeah,
this is God's being like, baby, why you gotta make me make you go to hell?
Why you gotta make me go to hell? Make you make me? Why you gotta make me make you go to hell?
Why you gotta baby, go to hell? You know I love you. Why you gotta do this?
Like he's saying in this track, he's like, why you gotta go to hell, man? Why don't you not go to hell? And it's like, dude, maybe you could unmake it, you know? Or you could just be like, you're not going, and then problem solved. He doesn't need to be preachy about it.
Well, on the other hand, abusive people can just stop hitting people, but they don't. God has a problem. God has poor impulse control, and God is a dick. That's the problem there.
So true. But so we got the monkey thing, Dave. You have any issues to bring forth here?
No, I just think it's one of those worlds where humans and animals, anthropomorphic animals, coexist. I'm just putting that down.
So the doctor's a human?
Probably.
And the mother is a human?
Probably. All
right.
But the monkeys are monkeys.
Okay.
The monkeys are, and I think, if I wanted to go look at it straight up as a literary textual analysis, as opposed to, a postmodern, imperialist blabdy-whoop-de-woo theory analysis like you were doing, I think it's the same situation in Curious George, where, your responsible adult types are humans, and then children are represented as monkeys.
Telling you, it is racist propaganda.
Well then, you know what I'm just thinking then?
What?
Why monkeys gotta be jumping on the bed?
They think
monkeys can't sleep in a bed like anybody else?
It's another, yeah, I mean, it's
this
pretty...
This is just more of that.
It's more misbehaving Negroes who the white man, represented here by the doctor, is trying to keep in line and under their thumb. I do not trust the whites, and that has been well documented.
It's true.
Through the course of this podcast where I've said, I do not trust the whites.
But Dave, if you want, over.
Later in the show, we can get some listener mail, which everybody loves.
Listener mail! Did we get some listener mail?
Yeah, we got listener mail, and it's like 3 weeks old.
But
that's
man.
Because we...
That probably explains why I don't remember it. Awesome.
Yeah. That's because we haven't done a podcast in like 3 weeks. Like, people don't know that because they are unawares because we released the last episode. But in the week where we released the last episode, we didn't record. So we have not been in the studio here for a while.
It's true.
A while.
We're fresh. We're ready to get back at it.
Are we fresh or are we rusty from not practicing?
That's where I was going. I was going to say, on one hand, we're fresh and energized and ready to get back at it. We also might be a little rusty. And then while
Could
I was trying
both?
To say that, yeah, I think so. Well, like...
Yeah, I guess so. I'm ready to go, except I suck.
Yeah, yeah. And as you can see from me trailing off as I say sentences wrong and can't think
so
of metaphors...
So you're saying the quality...
I'm hitting rusty right now.
You're saying this quality podcast is still quality, but perhaps that quality is different.
Yeah, yeah. It's energy up, coherence maybe down.
All right. Well, why don't we take a short break and we'll turn the power... items back on, like this computer here and things like that, and we'll come back with more. I'm trying to think. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're gonna have to sing our songs.
Yeah, we're gonna have to play out the music.
Do 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 do. I'm trying to think. Do 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 do. I'm trying to think. I'm trying. I'm trying to think. And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 35. This is Chuck Warner. With me, as always, is Dave Stern. Say hi, Dave.
Hey.
We never did that part.
We forgot. Yeah, that's what.
Well, that's the dangers of unscripted podcasting.
Yep.
Part of the danger is of unscripted podcasting is like we'll come out of a bit, and Dave will be like, "Well, that was just terrible."
Yep, that'll happen sometimes. Just
didn't. That didn't work. But then sometimes you get back into the studio, and when you're editing, and then it does work.
Although I will say, one thing that would have helped is if you just didn't mention it. So if we have to, it has to go away. It can just go away.
No.
You fucked the whole thing.
No, it's awesome right now because I like to involve people in the process. I think they like to be involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
They, the imaginary people,
just getting them all up in the sausage.
Yeah, I mean, they don't get all of the sausage, if you know what I mean. But
yeah, you know,
now you want a little bit of the sausage.
Now that I think about it, throwing this metaphor in. Without using the phrase, how the sausage is made, just assuming that phrase and just starting to talk about the sausage, that was not my best idea.
No, that's fine. I think everybody knows about the how the sausage is made metaphor. That's a common knowledge thing. We have to assume some common knowledge here, Dave, between us and the listeners.
Okay, well, hopefully that's what they knew we were talking about.
All right. Well, the idea of the metaphor is that you don't want to see how sausage is made. But imagine this, if you will, Dave. You go to the store. You're looking at sausages, like you do. And you're terrible. See, you're terrible. But anyways, you're looking at the sausages, and you see, like, okay, there's just, like, a sausage. It's, like it's red, and it's got, like, spots on it, you know, like a sausage does.
Oh, no.
And,
call the doctor, and the doctor says,
I don't think there's
no more spots
doctor.
On the sausage.
It's not a sausage doctor available. Anyways, but then you look at the next sausage down, and it's like chicken and applesauce, you know? Which really? I've had a chicken applesauce.
Wait, did you mean chicken and an apple sausage? Because a chicken and applesauce sausage.
It had it had applesauce in it, apple chunks, basically. It was made with an applesauce in the filling.
Okay.
It actually was good. I mean, they didn't fill it with applesauce, because that would be not as good.
No, that sounds wrong.
Anyways. That obviously then I was like, ooh, chicken and apple, that sounds good. I'll try that, right? And it was okay. And I've had like a mozzarella and chicken and basil or something sausages. Right? The label can tell you, hey, we put some of this stuff in, right? Now you still might not want to see the whole sausage made. But the label pulls you in a little more. So I'm just telling people out there, hey, sometimes you come out of a segment, Dave is holding his head in shame. He's just crying, like he's almost in tears. I'm laughing my ass off. And not because the bit was funny, but because I'm laughing my ass off at Dave's pain.
Yeah, that is how that goes.
And that's extra funny to me. But and then, you know, that's sometimes those are the best bits.
Yeah, sometimes they are. I don't think this was one of those times. We're going to see.
That was not applesauce. That was the chicken liver bit.
Yeah. We may excise.
We're
that
still
going to
advertise it as know. Applesauce, but
I don't know. I'm a sausage surgeon. I may excise that from the sausage entirely. All right.
Well, if you excise it, we're going to have a short show, so we'd have to do a whole other bit, and then blah blah blah, yakety schmackety.
We can do it. That's fine.
Do I say that kind of thing a lot? Do I
yakety schmackety?
Well, not yakety schmackety specifically.
No.
But do I just kind of launch into like a blah 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 or yamada yamada rah or whatever? Do I like yada yada a lot?
Medium.
All right.
I'm gonna say medium.
Medium. Okay. I had some friends who I hadn't seen in like 8 years or something. Right? They came into town, and every time I would do that, which is just a normal part of my speech that I do all the time. And don't notice, they would laugh their heads off. Like, they're like, oh, that's so Chuck. And I was like, really? Is that how I sound? Am I just like, yada, 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 or blickety, blackety, blue, things like that? I guess I am. Maybe not on the podcast, though. Hopefully not on the podcast.
Well, I'm just going to say, the last 2 minutes did just happen.
That's true. And also, I mean, but that would make a decent, that would make a different podcast. But a decent one.
The nonsense podcast?
Not quite.
The let's not say words
yada,
podcast?
Yada, yada, yada. So you're like, you know, like in the Seinfeld episode.
Blue.
Yeah. Like in the Seinfeld episode, for instance, you'd be like, hey, did you see this thing with the oil spill you know. Yeah. The BP's setting up camps, and the camera people are coming up, and the BP people are interrupting them, and blaggity bloobity blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And you don't express, you know, we just don't express any opinions or anything. That way, we're dead set middle of the road. We just state things that happen, and then we blaggity bloobity blah.
Wait, here's the angle.
All right.
I figured out the angle on that.
The angle, go for it.
The angle we got to take on that. And that's what we do is, we're doing that, we're not using words, so we're not expressing opinions.
Right.
What we need to do that we're not doing is, right now, we've got this thing where we would express non-opinions casually.
Mm-hmm.
We got to express non-opinions furiously, with force.
So, you would be like, do you see this thing with the oil spill, BP, blah, blah, blah? And then you'd be like, and then the camera people, they came up, and then the BP people came up with the camera people, and then, blah, blue, blee, blah, yada, yada, yada. Is that...
Basically, I don't know, I'm thinking less, like, yelling, because you were going more just, like, we talk about it casually, and then we ask an incoherent caveman on his opinion, which would be...
The caveman hour.
Which would be a good, different show. That's right. Another good show, I think.
I want to see, actually, like,
just two guys rationally, calmly discussing the issue, and let's throw it to an incoherent caveman.
Even better, you know, like the McLaughlin group, or even like Bill Maher.
Uh-huh.
You know how he has the panel?
Yeah, yeah.
So the panel's like, okay, so you have like the normal host, like just a guy.
Yeah, you got
right?
Bill Maher,
Ted
you got,
Koppel,
you know,
I don't know.
Political commentator Andrew Sullivan.
No, no,
you
no.
Got,
I'm not
you
even
know,
going
a comedian,
there.
And you got an incoherent caveman.
That's true. That actually happens a lot on that show. But anyways, no, I was like thinking Bill Maher. With a man we yanked out of the Victorian era, an ancient Chinese woman, and a caveman. Ah. We can just do different things, like different times.
So it's like a temporal...
Hey, just let's just go complete, like, let's go all over the place. I mean, let's not just, because time travel is really difficult, but it's only as difficult as, for instance, reaching into fictional universes and pulling out characters, right? So, like,
sure.
Bill Maher... Ahab from Moby Dick. Moby Dick from Moby Dick.
Oh, man.
And then, you know...
That's going to be a fight. Do they have
Mercutio from Romeo and Juliet.
We have security guys?
Oh, yeah, you got to have security.
Moby, Moby, Moby. Because that's going to be a
whole
thing.
Whose side would you be on? What do you think Moby... Where do you think Moby Dick's opinions lie versus Ahab? Like, is Ahab a conservative...
Mm-hmm.
And Moby Dick's kind of like more liberal.
Well, you're actually talking to someone who, even as we speak, could, if I wanted, whip out my little iPod, and I'm into chapter 3 of Moby Dick.
Oh, wow. Go you.
So if there's one thing I can tell you about Moby Dick,
uh-huh.
It's that they're spending a long time describing a painting on the wall of
yeah.
An inn. Because
yeah,
according to chapter 3, there's not no one's on a boat yet. This is a book that takes its fucking time.
Yeah, it's a thick book. Now, see, I haven't read Moby Dick in a long time, but what I want to read now is Bartleby the Scrivener, because I've been hearing about it a lot. Like, it's one of those things where all of a sudden everybody's talking about Bartleby the Scrivener.
I gotta say, I do love dropping a good Bartleby the Scrivener joke every now and then. Have I read Bartleby the Scrivener? No, sir,
hell,
I have not.
Hell no. It seems like a really weird... I read a synopsis. It seems like a really weird story. I mean, and what are we going to tell the listener except for it's a really weird story with about a guy who always says, I'd prefer not to.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Also, by describing Bartleby the Scrivener, you just stole my punchline.
Oh, did I?
Well, there's only one punchline you're going to use for any given Bartleby the Scrivener joke. Let's be honest. And that's, I'd prefer not to. And you took it from me. Seized it.
I think there are other... There's always more punchlines. You know, you could just pull a punchline from another joke. It'll work. Like, and then the Pope said, no, I don't think she belongs in the Sistine Chapel. But I'm bumch.
That's a joke. I question whether it's a Bartleby the Scrivener joke.
That's a punchline. I'm saying you could take a punchline from a different joke. I don't know what joke that punchline goes to. I made up the punchline.
Right.
Isn't that wacky? Think about it. I just made up a punchline for a joke that doesn't exist, but it sounds like a punchline. Punchlines have a sound, Dave.
Yeah, punchlines have a sound to them.
They have a, mm-hmm. They have a quality, if you will. A punchline-ish quality. Do you think that I could go around speaking only in punchlines?
Yes. It wouldn't be easy, but I think you could do it.
Man, I'm going to have to
consider. Like, do you mean that only legit punchlines or only things that sound like punchlines?
I would go with both. Both legit punchlines and things that sound like punchlines.
I think that would be driving you nuts.
It's driving me nuts.
Oh, God, I love that joke.
But think about how much I could do just with the punchlines from Knock Knock jokes, right?
Actually, wait, here's
a quick... Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
I'm fairly.
Yeah.
Wait, no, here's a quick aside.
Right on.
Here's a way to make the one joke, that pirate joke with the steering wheel. You know how to make that about 2 to 4.5 times as funny?
God, tell me, please do tell me.
Say the punchline without the inflection that makes the punchline make sense as a punchline.
So, like, I know, it's driving me nuts.
No.
My nuts.
Yeah, it's driving my nuts. Then makes it much better.
Somebody has to really know the joke already.
Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't know that joke?
The pirate joke is strong. But I'm thinking...
It's driving my nuts. See? You're laughing already. It's great. That's how you improve that joke.
I thought of another way to just improve jokes in general, which is tell a joke that everybody knows and then just come up with a different punchline. Like, especially one that doesn't make any sense.
I'm fond of that.
The pirate goes into a bar. He has a steering wheel.
On his dinger.
On his dinger. And there's a parrot sitting on the steering wheel. And the bartender says, hey, do you know you have a steering wheel on your dinger and a parrot sitting on the steering wheel? And the pirate says, that's no dinger, that's my wife.
Oh.
See?
We're improving jokes.
That's a quality idea. Because once you've heard it, jokes, hearing it again is just no fun. But if I can just go in a completely different direction with it, there you go. That's no dinger. That's my wife. Oh, boy.
Okay, Bartleby the Scrivener.
Bartleby the Scrivener.
I'd prefer not to.
I'd prefer not to. That would have been a good name for a podcast, too. You know, we had a lot of names, and I'm trying to think is a great name. But I'd prefer not to. It would be an interesting name, too. I don't know what we talk about, because it'd be like, well, how about that that oil spill? You want to talk about that? I'd prefer not to.
And that concludes this segment of I Prefer Not To.
Next segment of I Prefer Not To. Dave, how do you feel about Don't Ask, Don't Tell? You want to talk about that?
I'd prefer not to.
Next thing on I Prefer Not To.
Fall elections.
Ooh, yeah. You know, I've been thinking about who to vote for.
Voting?
Yeah, I'd just prefer not to.
And that's I Prefer Not To.
That's a good show.
The show that solves the issues by choosing honestly, not to engage.
Yeah, that's the way to go. But, and that's a great song. Good job, by the way.
Thank you.
But I'm just thinking, we are in the wrong line of work. What we should have is a consulting agency where we come up with names for podcasts.
Yeah, clearly we're mediocre at best at podcasting.
Yeah.
But we're great at coming up with podcasts.
Because people could come to our office and they could come in the door and they'd be like, hey, we want to do a podcast. And we'd be like, well, okay, well, what do you know about? What can you talk about that people are interested in? And they're like, well, nothing. And we're like, awesome, we can take that. Because that's how we started, you know?
Yeah.
That's absolutely how we began. And we take them into the other room, and then that's where the business... Hold on. Stop.
Did this suddenly become a rape business? It sounds like it sounds like you were turning it towards being a rape business. I'm not...
It might be consensual. I don't know. I'm leaning towards consensual, but regardless...
Then I'm back on board.
We take them into the other room. And I mean meaningful consent. We're not going to drug them or anything. You know?
Good. Okay. Then I'm back on board.
Or blackmail them or use extortion. Business. Right. Meaningful consent.
Okay.
We take them into the back room.
You took me and you lost me because it was sounding ominous.
I understand
how that
could...
But you got me back on board.
Or like, all right, so your podcast is going to be, you know, I prefer not to. And you know, that's basically what you do. Yeah. Your podcast is going to be and this is one that I still love, Irregardless. That's the title of your podcast. Go off and do it. And they'd be like, well, what do we podcast about? And we'd be like, look, did when you came in the door, did you see a fucking sign that said, What You Podcast About Incorporated? No, it's fucking Podcast Names Incorporated. That's all you get. Give us our $10,000 fee and get the fuck out of the door.
I don't know. Do you just want to do names? Because I feel like we're pretty good at coming up with podcasts. I mean, already we've come up with, you know, the, like, McNail Ahab News Hour.
Dave, you're not strong. You're not thinking.
We've got Angry Caveman.
You're not thinking fourth dimensionally. Because, of course, then, across the hall, we have another business. And we have secret doors so we can get into that business.
Like a little tunnel. With,
yeah, a little tunnel so they don't see us walking. And you go over to our other business, What to Podcast About Incorporated. Another $10,000 fee.
You get them twice.
Yeah, you get them coming and going.
That's the fourth dimension. So it's, what is it? It's X, Y, Z, and Rip-Off.
Coming and going. Yeah. Rip-Off is the fourth dimension.
Oh, man. That's wild.
Yeah, and, well,
okay.
Think about the times in your life you've been ripped off. You'll realize it's true.
Okay, so now we're in about the point where, okay, Bartleby the Scrivener, we've closed the door on that.
Right.
We looped back up to Moby Dick.
We can go back to Moby Dick,
and
sure.
I'm saying looping on Moby Dick. Dense, symbolist novel. I've been enjoying it, but I've been doing it very slowly.
Yeah, it's a good novel. I mean, it's mm-hmm. It's a good novel just about obsession and what drives people and the curious human condition that is obsession.
And a lot about a painting. Like, man, this chapter is all about a painting.
Yeah,
and the rest of the contents of an inn.
It's 19th wild century digressions. Authors,
although even other 19th century authors didn't suddenly digress and be like,
no.
This is Melville.
Hawthorne, motherfucker. Hawthorne. Nathaniel fucking Hawthorne.
Well, you know what that explains?
It's a whole chapter in The Scarlet Letter about a damn rose bush.
You know what this explains, actually? You know, and this is getting back to something a little high-minded. This is why that in Melville's time, he was, you know, not heralded as the great American genius
that he is
today. Except the first person to get on board the Melville train, Hawthorne.
Nathaniel Hawthorne. Actually, That's a true fact. I was reading up on Bartleby the Scrivener, and he wrote it anonymously, actually, and it was partly because he was so upset because Moby Dick was not selling well. So, I mean, according to Wikipedia, what the fuck do
we know? Yeah, I don't know. We brought it out to something high-minded. Okay, so we got Moby Dick.
So do you think, I'm just going to ask you, this is an aside. Do you think we need a whiteboard? Do you think we need a whiteboard where we keep track of the topics?
How deep in we get
so we can get back up?
So we can get back out?
I'm sure that
wouldn't be unuseful. That might help.
I'm sure that Hillock Joe would appreciate that.
Very possibly.
And speaking of Hillock Joe.
Oh no, you're trying to segue before we get back out all the way.
Listener mail!
We're not in the hole, but that's fine. We're going to listener mail. Let's do it. Listener mail.
I'm just
going to
read this paragraph by paragraph. We'll comment after each paragraph, okay? This is a message from Hillock Joe. Dear, I'm trying to think, which is nice.
Yeah.
Talk to the show directly. That's good. While we of the Hillock are used to a certain wackiness amongst our merrymakers, we are not down with the clown. And this refers, of course, to our discussion about the insane clown posse. In fact, around these parts, we really don't even know what that means. While we may agree to mock their anti-scientific sentiments, I think it would be a mistake to declare that only ignorant people can find something miraculous. I would not think that is a mistake. But I'm very anti-miracles, Dave.
Yeah, you're harsh on miracles.
We can talk about miracles. We'll talk about it after this, after we read the mail, though, okay? Second paragraph. If we accept the minstrel's definition of miraculous as anything that is impressive, is that Shakespeare? Is that the minstrel?
No, I think he's talking about the clown. No, he's a bard, high level. Bard.
Is he a bard? Okay,
high level,
like 20.
He can cast wizard spells.
Oh, dude.
But anyhow, in this case, he's talking about basically using the insane clown posse's definition of miracle.
All right, as anything that is impressive as the definition, then magnets are pretty darn miraculous.
In fairness, give Hillock the credit he deserves. Right. He said damn. He was going a little blue. He said pretty damn miraculous.
Oh, okay. I just read it wrong. I believe it's a mistake that educated people often fall into to dismiss anything they understand as commonplace and pedestrian. However, some of the greatest scientists were able to maintain their sense of marvel while still deeply understanding the phenomena they studied. I would even go so far as to say the best science pop scientists, probably what he meant there.
The best science popularizers.
No, the best science popularizers, which is, wait. I don't think that's a word, Hillary Joe.
No, wait, popularizers.
Popularizers.
You know, he's not that bad at writing. We suck at reading.
Yeah, but that's the problem here. Popularizer seems like a stretch. I don't know. Are those who can convey the enthusiasm they have for their field to the public. And I actually think he has a point. The enthusiasm of a Neil deGrasse Tyson or a Carl Sagan.
A Bill
shows,
Nye.
Or a Bill Nye. Yeah, shows very much in their...
Wizard, Mister.
Shows very much, and they do communicate great things to the public.
You know whose science show kind of sucked, though?
Whose?
Mr. Misters.
Yeah.
Curialism!
No, that's not science, dude. Anyways. I think what is that? Curialaison is Christ be with me, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Christ walk with me, something like that. Anyways.
Man, that was a crappy Twin Peaks movie.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks, Christ walk with me.
Yeah, Christ walk with me was not. Footprints in the sand. That Twin Peaks footprints in the sand was terrible. Anyways. So, I think so. But, like, the thing about it is I don't dismiss things as commonplace and pedestrian. I just don't think the word miracle is used in any sense that is useful. Is a miracle a statistically significant rare event? Huh? But then people say children are miracles. And let me tell you something else. If it's statistically significant rare event, magnets are not fucking miracles.
They are
everywhere, and they're easy to understand. They defy the expectations of a layperson. That's the only reason they are anything interesting. Invisible force. Ooh! Yeah, we're surrounded by invisible forces. And most of them are much stronger than magnets. If you want to be amazed, how about the strong, weak nuclear forces? I didn't hear that in the fucking Insane Clown Posse song.
That's probably a bit advanced.
Yeah, anyways.
For the ICP.
But my point is, blah. Miracles is a word that people use, and it generally means, if I could quote my own works, it generally, which I can because it's mine.
Yeah.
It generally means crying paintings and magic babies. That's miracles to most people. I don't believe in those. So, there you go.
Okay, so as a long, I think.
We got a long.
To sum that up.
Yeah, go ahead and sum it up.
I think Chuck pretty much agrees that, you know, scientists should convey, you know, the impressiveness and, you know, how cool and wonderful and exciting science is.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
But Chuck is fussy about the word miracle.
I am slightly fussy.
Because he
doesn't
know what it means.
Well, nobody
knows
what
it means. And it's bullshit.
Yeah, nobody knows what it means because nobody uses it the same way. All right, final thing. On an unrelated topic, the reason that no one talks about the post-bellum South, that is post-Civil War South, is that it's a lot of poverty, overalls, and surprisingly few jugs with XXX on them. Sincerely, Hillock Joe. Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, you know, I think there are plenty of people who don't shut up about the South, although they don't refer to it as post-bellum by name.
No.
But, you know, I'll take this guy's word for it. He's from a Hillock.
Charlie Daniels.
He knows what he's talking
about. Charlie Daniels does not shut up about the South, and as long as he lives... There you go. But back to the miracle thing, just briefly. And then we'll just exunt from this, if you will.
Now, actually, I got another quick update.
Oh, God.
And it segues from clowns.
Miracles. I've been writing a screenplay for a friend who's involved in a group that does short films.
Uh-huh.
And he's a listener, actually. Hello! Anyways. That was just a nice hello.
Yeah, that
was lovely. If you want a nice hello, write to contact@imtryingtothink.com, subject line, nice hello.
Hey.
So, he writes me and he knows that I write, so he's asked me for a sample, you know, for something they could maybe film. So I was like, oh, I have this stage play that is absurdist, existentialist kind of comedy drama thing, you know. Like, I call it Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead meets the IT Crowd.
All right.
All right. So, anyways. So, I'm like, oh, I could translate, like, 20 to 25 pages of that into a screenplay, and that'll be about a short film. So, I started to write it, and there's a line in it that, talking about miracles, that says that a miracle is an event which creates the conditions for its own possibility.
Huh.
And that is, so that is a line that I kind of half stole from Slavoj Žižek, who said something about basically, like, impossible things and how they create the conditions necessary for their own possibility. Like, you know, nothing is possible until it happens, and then it's like, oh, that's possible. You know, Dave's kind of scowling.
Eh.
Slavoj Žižek is talking about things like
I'm just saying,
communism.
For someone who does not like postmodernism, I'm surprised you're behind that idea.
I'm not saying I'm behind that idea. I'm saying that's what a character said in a screenplay I'm writing.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I think it's an interesting idea about things being about something that creates the conditions for its own possibility. Because in the screenplay, they're talking about happiness, which I do think is something that creates the conditions for its own possibility. And in other words, you cannot be happy until you are happy. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, vaguely.
So basically, the point is we make our own happiness to a large degree. And the only way to create your own happiness is to understand what conditions are necessary for that happiness, and then to make those conditions true, and thus make it possible for you to be happy. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
All right, fine.
Okay.
All right, well, that was me going on about something.
Okay, and totally blowing my segue. Because, you know what, I don't care.
Also,
it was great.
In the screenplay, there's this scene where, like, 50 clowns come in the room and hit people in the genitals.
Speaking of clowns.
Oh, really?
Thank you. That's probably going to be expensive for a short film.
I go the extra mile for you, man. No, you just get homeless guys.
Even then, there's still going to be a lot of makeup.
I'm recommending to the director, homeless guys. Don't do the makeup. It's absurdist, so you don't need to do the makeup. Just somebody will identify them as clowns in the scene, despite the lack of clown outfits.
Metaphysically clowns?
Yeah. They're tautologically clowns, because guy will say, hey, look at those clowns. It looks like they're coming after our genitals.
Oh.
Thus, they are defined by the observer.
It's possible. Hopefully, if this person is listening, hopefully we haven't ruined your chances.
Yeah. Also, again, no pomo. No pomo there.
Oh, that was a little pomo.
Go ahead. Anyways.
Okay, so speaking of clowns.
Speaking of clowns.
Just I want to give a brief update on the Spangles situation.
Go ahead.
Just that I've seen Spangles' car once or twice. I want to say twice, might have just been once, I don't remember, but I've seen his car, again, about the same area, basically parked near the baseball field. My conclusion that I'm drawing is that Spangles is either a Little League, well, or parent, or a Little League coach,
right,
or both.
I think a big get for us would be an exclusive interview with Spangles.
Yeah.
That would be a big get. I think that interview would last 3 minutes before
Tops.
Spangles stormed off or hit one of us.
Yeah.
All right. Actually,
that sounds about right.
It would last about, I'm sorry, it would last about 8 minutes, because there's 5 minutes of us just laughing.
Yeah.
Then 3 minutes of interview.
Mm-hmm. And probably a little bit of small talk at first.
Getting that first question out is going to take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the question I have. Okay, so Spangles, Little League parent, right?
Right. Possibly. Either that just shows up at Little League games in the costume. Talk about 9/11.
A little bit of a J.W. Gacy thing. Again, we talked upon that last time. But
I'm not saying the person's a murderer.
Just shows up at Little League games.
But if you're a person
seems
who
a little bit
dresses
JWG.
Up as a clown and thinks 9/11 never forget is clown apropos, you're definitely a crazy person.
Yep.
You probably go to the bank and try and make jokes and never get the punchline right.
Or it's driving my nuts.
Or you go to the barber and mumble about how you're pissed off.
God damn it.
God damn it. You're really pissing me off. All right.
Okay, so here's the question, though.
Go ahead.
Let's say he's... Okay, so that's one possibility is he just shows up to Little League games.
That's the possibility I buy. Go ahead.
But if he's a Little League parent, or if he's just a parent generally, and he's showing up in the clown car, that tells you something, which makes a lot of sense considering how much money there probably is in political clowning.
It's true.
Is that that's probably his car, period.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're his kid. You're going to Little League games.
Yep.
You're going to school.
Yep.
You're going to the dance.
Yep.
You're in
going
the clown
on
car.
Dates in the clown car if you're older. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that work as a life?
Dude, I do not know. That, like, that's actually something that is even beyond my ability to imagine. Like, that actually stretches my mind to its breaking point. And, hey, if you're out there listening, son of Spangles, I feel for you. I got nothing but sympathy.
I mean, it's hard enough.
It's difficult. Actually, I got nothing but empathy. I can't actually sympathize with your position because I cannot conceive it. But I empathize. I'm out there for you, caring.
I mean, it's hard enough putting on the moves in a PT Cruiser.
In a PT Cruiser, period, yeah. Well, you got a lot of leg room, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
For putting the moves on a girl.
But man, when that Cruiser says 9/11 never forget near a smiley face.
Yeah. You know, that brings a whole new idea to if that van's a rockin', don't come a knockin'. Because if you saw a van rocking, like just a brown van, let's say, you'd be like, oh.
Okay, I shouldn't go knocking.
Now, let's say you see a brown van with clown stickers all over it that says 9/11 never forget.
That van is a brownin'. Something, something clownin'. I don't know. That was half a joke. It was half a joke.
No. I got a joke. Hold on. I gotta laugh it out first.
Do it. Easy breathing.
It's terrible to laugh it out.
Easy breathing. Control and composure. Make it happen.
If that van is out past 7, Jews did 9/11. I couldn't even get through it.
Oh no.
Oh. Never forget, Dave. Never forget.
Is there a word for, like, a synonym for rockin' that rhymes with forgettin'?
If that van is upsettin',
don't
you
be
better
forgettin'.
Be not for, never don't forgettin'.
Oh man.
You
if
know
that
what I
van's
was just
up and downin', political clownin'. PT Cruiser is not really a van, but that's okay. We're on a roll.
It's true.
Oh, man. If there's people fucking in that van, God bless America.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
We're out of the roll.
All right, wait.
I took us out of the roll.
I got it. If that van's on a mission, the government did 9/11 with controlled demolition. I was just thinking that, I bet if we introduced Spangles to the Insane Clown Posse, they would get along.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they would get along. Maybe not on the Christian stuff, but probably,
also,
you know.
They're on the clown level.
On the
clowns
clown
have a lot to talk about. They can swap
level.
Makeup tips.
Yeah.
Also, wait, here's a concern I have on sort of political clown level.
All right.
Well, on the political level,
okay.
And clown is part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
Is like, okay, there's a flag on a street near me that's, you know, it's one of those American flags, but instead of having 50 stars, it's got, like, a couple stars and a crying eagle, and it says 9/11 never forget, which I think I've talked about.
Yeah.
There's a religious clown who stops at ball games in my neighborhood, a patriotic clown, with Never Forget. Like, am I in, like, is Regent Square, like, the 9/11 Never Forget Nexus neighborhood of Pittsburgh? Is this something I didn't know before I moved in?
I really
You've lived in Regent Square.
I did live in Regent Square. There was not that much of that going on when I was living there. Maybe you brought them with you.
It's from Squirrel Hill?
I've been considering that as a possible place to buy a home. And if it's Never Forget 9/11 Central, I'm not. Oh,
it's a lovely neighborhood. You just best be packing your flag. That's all I'm saying. And that flag, like, I don't know a lot about flags and flag display, but it seems wrong to, like, not just eliminate a swath of states in favor of a crying eagle.
Yeah, that...
That seems like it's also violating shit.
I don't know that eagles cry. I'm not sure about that whole biological thing.
Well.
Yeah.
If Americans are dying, bad eagles are crying.
Thank you. I'm glad you threw it back to the rhyming.
Oh.
All right. So is there anything else you'd like to say before we perhaps wrap this up? You got another one? You're trying to come up with another one.
I can't. I'm done. You know, I've gained a lot more respect for Jesse Jackson. Because he just goes. He's a fucking machine, isn't he? Like, this is it's harder than it seems.
There's difficulty to it. Right? But, I have one more thing to say. If that van is colored tawny, 9/11 was fixed by Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, God, there's got to be something better than the color tawny. God damn.
There's nothing that runs with Ani. I went through a lot of it. There's just nothing. All right, well, if you have your own, if that van's a rockin' clown or patriotism-related... rhyme limerick things, you send them to contact@imtryingtothink.com. And if you think you have better fan mail than Hillock Joe, you should definitely write to contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Definitely. All right.
Well, I think that wraps up episode 35.
Absolutely.
Jews did 9/11. That one was the best one for
that
me.
Was something.
I mean, that was my favorite.
That was my favorite. Think that's his conspiracy? No, because if he is religious, it's possible.
That whole thing just melds together for me. So for me, that's...
Any 9/11...
If you care about 9/11 at all, enough to paint it on your car, or have, like, a flag or a commemorative painting or something...
You assume...
I figure...
That you're one of those
camp.
People.
You might as well be.
You're either a Jews conspiracy theorist or a truther.
You're either like Jews did 9/11 or a truther, or you hate brown people.
Are there people out there who are saying that Obama did 9/11? That
Probably.
Makes no sense, but I
you've
feel like it's
think,
a thing that would happen.
Gotta think they do. Of course, because he's a part of that whole dark conspiracy. So he used to be CIA. There's that one. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so, of course, he was involved in 9/11. It's just to me like, all right, so 9/11 happened. Maybe I'm an insensitive guy. But, you know, that many people died at Pearl Harbor, too.
Which we're also supposed to not forget, in fairness.
I mean, what are we not forgetting? That we completely, destroyed Japanese culture and eliminated all the aspects of it that would have made them our enemies and just made them, like, America Junior? Like, we destroyed that country. Any sentiment of what caused them to attack Pearl Harbor is gone. At our hands.
Yeah.
I mean, never forget what? We win. We win, motherfuckers.
Well, I think we didn't. No one's saying never forget Pearl Harbor. Although, that's the day that lives in infamy. So.
It's a day that lives in infamy, Dave. Does it still live in infamy? Is it as infamous as 9/11? Because if 9/11 is more infamous, then we gotta say, look, FDR... It lived in infamy, but eventually that infamy ran
out.
But
now we're moving on. We've got a new...
We're moving on.
We got
9/11
now. We got a new thing to dwell on.
And I don't know if there was anything in between, but probably not. I'm sure there were for the Vietnamese,
The Tet Offensive?
It's not our fault.
Is the Tet Offensive?
I was thinking more of
who'd that happen to? I don't know a lot about Vietnam.
The Tet Offensive was...
clearly I've forgotten the shit out of the Tet Offensive.
There's a holiday. I think it's called
Tet. I know Tet's a holiday.
All right.
I mean, I can read between the lines and construct approximately what the Tet Offensive was, in that it was an offensive maneuver that took place on or around Tet.
All right. Well, we'll leave the rest up as an exercise to the listener, because I have to get going, Dave. I'm on a deadline here.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode 35 of I'm Trying to Think. I hope you laughed, even at the part that Dave hated, but he probably cut that out, so you probably didn't even hear it. Whoops. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 36. Dave, is there anything you want to tell the listeners in the meantime?
No, I think we got it. Let's say ourselves out.
All right. Sing ourselves out. Singers. Ready? Here we go. Go ahead. You start.
Doot, doot, doot,
that
doot,
was
doot,
I'm doot, trying doot, to think, doot, and now it's doot, over. Doot, and now it's doot, over. Doot, never forget doot, I'm trying doot, to think of episode 35. Doot, because you'll be on a patriotic. Clowns love to kick you in the genitals. There's like 50 of them. That's all for episode 35. Make sure you listen to episode 36. I'm trying to think. That was terrible. I can't hit notes in falsetto. Whatever. Goodbye.